Welcome to Musically Meditated. That little intro right there is a song by the one and only Deftones. The song is Battle Axe, and this is another happy birthday episode for the Deftones album entitled Deftones. So people call it self-titled, but it was released May 20th of 2003. So how old does that make it, Stratton? You're good with math.
2003, 2018, 15 years old.
15. So yeah, that's a little bit more prolific of number there. Thank you for the good math.
I got nervous.
Right. Minerva was the very first single off of this album that blew up, and they recorded it in a desert, and there's all kinds of cool footage online about how awful of an experience that was. But like I have done in the past, I like to open this up with my own personal stories of this album and, you know, share it with y'all. So, you know, take you back into my life in 2003. So the first thing with this album, it was very, very anticipated because it was after White Pony, which was a huge commercial success. However, they took a long time to record this. They used Terry Date again, legendary producer, but I think it took them 2 years, and they were actually fined, and there were some issues. I guess there was a few writer blocks and so on and so forth. But I remember Minerva was the first single. This was like a spring release, obviously, May 20th. But shout out to Nicole Jertl. She's a long friend of mine, and she was, at the time, she wasn't dating my friend Mike Paris, but they had their little thing going on and off forever. But she was living out of town, and I remember she came to my house, and she had this album, and she gave it to me for my birthday, because my birthday is the 15th, so I thought that was really cool. What's that?
I heard your birthday's a 15.
And I heard yours is too.
Oh.
A couple tourists, the Bulls here. So I remember she gave me the album, and the first thing that caught my eye was the record, the album cover. Super awesome. It's got these blue and red roses, and then it has this crazy skull, you know, in the front. And it was just like, man, this looks dark. Then it looks kind of sexy, and it looks kind of romantic. And originally, this album was supposed to be entitled Lovers. But Chino decided to switch it last second because he thought that was too straightforward, because that would tell the fans or the listener, like, this is a heartbreak album. So they switched it last second. I really wish they would have continued with that title, because the artwork was so dope for Lovers, because they used it on their first single, which was Hexagram. And it's these two lambs or two sheep. No, it's two lambs, and they're mummified. And they're like licking each other. It's really, really cool. And it's going to be my next tattoo. I've always wanted to make it a tattoo, and I'm going to make it a tattoo. So, yeah, it was originally supposed to be called Lovers, but he switched it up. And they used it. They used that artwork for the first single, which is Hexagram. And Hexagram, you know, it's a great way to start off an album. It was really, really heavy. And, you know, you just... This guitar intro is just, it's just the best, man. Just, it takes me back to 2003, and like, it just, they just came out the door just heavy. I mean, listen to this. So, you know, that was a different way to start off an album, especially after White Pony. So a lot of people said they took a step back. I had a lot of friends at the time that were all death metal heads. And, you know, I was the dude that still liked, you know, this kind of metal. And I'd always catch some slack. But I had some friends when they heard this Deftones record and how heavy it was and how aggressive it was and just dark and thick. They jumped on board, you know. And that's going to go into one of my concert stories about this. But yeah, it was a really hyped up thing at the time, because White Pony was so successful, and they took a long time to drop this. So once they did, I was on. So I remember putting that CD in for the first time, got to look at the album cover and so on. And I was just really, really pumped. So it came out on the 20th. And I don't know if that was Mother's Day at the time, but Justin Wallace was here recently, and we did a Diamond Eyes happy birthday special, and I think we mentioned it a little bit, but they had a very, very small record release tour for this album, and it was called the Gorilla Tour. Very small, like maybe 10, 15 places that they went, you know, around the U.S., and they had a show at the Metro, and this is before, you know, StubHub and all that shit, so you had to wait in line or you'd have to buy them from a ticket broker. So Wallace stayed the night in downtown Chicago. I mean, not downtown, but on the north side on a park bench to get us tickets. And he did. And he got himself one, his girlfriend at the time. And then me and my friend Mike Paris, rest in power. And it was the best live musical performance that I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
To this day.
To this day. I've been to countless shows. I'm obviously a Deftones fanboy. But the energy that they captured and the fact that it was at the Metro is super tiny. I'll never forget it. It was just amazing. And we got there early enough. So I remember Wallace went on the floor because he's a little cray cray. And then my friend Mike and I, I'm like, dude, we're going up top and we're getting right in the middle. So he's like, all right, let's do it. So I just wanted to see it all from up top and just take it in because it was super packed, man, super packed. So we muscled our way there. I think we pissed off a few people, but hey, you know, we had broad shoulders back then and big biceps, so move it or lose it. So we got so we got there in the middle, and we watched the Deftones play. I could have swore it's probably an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hour long set. I think they played 23 to 25 songs, and they played for so long you get fined, you know, the longer you go on. And they turned all the lights on at the very end, like for their like last two songs. And that just had a huge impression on me. I've never seen anything like that before because shows are always dark.
Right.
But when they turned them on, it was like, holy shit. It was like watching the Deftones in a small gymnasium and just watching everyone just lose their shit. Wallace on the floor, like at the time, this is before Facebook and all that jazz, you would have to go to DeftonesWorld.com. And they would post pictures and they would post set lists and all this cool stuff. Wallace was in the picture, like, you know, throwing up the pitchforks in the middle of the floor, like in the heat of the moment, in the nasty, thick shit. And I remember we printed him out and hung it on his fridge. And it was just like this badge of honor, this show. Now, the Deftones performance for this show was really intense. You could tell that they just got done doing two different full national American tours for White Pony, and they did two full European tours. And if you read anything about this era of the Deftones, they were burnt out. And Chino on stage that night was shit-faced. Like, he was sloppy drunk. However, he was on. It was it's his best performance I've ever seen. I've seen the Deftones 27 times live now, somewhere around there, 25, 27. And he was all over the stage and he was sloppy, like I said, but man, did he was just drenched in water, like looked like he jumped in a pool, and it just, he was on drugs and he was drinking or something, but man, did he hit. And Abe's drumming was amazing. I remember Chi, the bass player, rest in power. His backup vocals were great. His bass lines were thick. And then Steph Dog was just laying low in the cut. High as usual. So that was a great, great concert experience. The best. So, you know, for this album to be 15 years old, it's great. Now let's fast forward. This was May. Let's move into like November. All right. And Nick Gloom and I have talked about this. That was at the Aragon. By this time, they had all put on about 25 to 30 pounds. The Deftones, that is. They played with, it was that Thursday and Thrice show. I know Vince from Pricks on Flicks was at the show. A lot of people were at this show. And it was the worst performance I've ever seen the Deftones play. So you talk about total climactic, awesome. And then you go to this. And we took like three carloads of my friends. Wallace wasn't at this one, I don't think. But just a shout out to some of my friends real quick. Rocco, Kenny Williams, Dave Schaefer, rest in power. Anthony Burton, Ricky Potney, rest in power. There was a ton of us. There was a ton. We had like three carloads. I can't remember the others right now. But we all went up there. And like I said, they were just overweight. They were extremely exhausted. My best memory of that show, I was like, okay, I could tell they're a little sloppy, but I made sure to get to the front of the stage. And, you know, Chino does a lot of crowd interaction. He stage dives, and then he'll get below the monitors, like on the guardrail, and to just, you know, put his body in there. And I was right there for that and grabbed his hand a couple times. And like, I got really excited, and like, I could tell he was trying to like, All right, dude, let go. And then finally he did, and he like pulled away, and he looked at me, and he gave me like kind of a shitty look. And then I remember he like wiped his hands like really, really hard on his jeans, like, and just looked at me like, dude, you need to settle down. But at any rate, yeah.
And you whispered to him, you'll never forget me.
You'll never forget me, Chino Moreno.
You'll never get that DNA off your hands.
But what was really cool about the second time, like, I'm a gear nerd and I look at everything. Abe, the drummer, his bass drum, like the front of it, he had those two lambs, the lover's lambs that are licking each other that I want to get a tattoo of. That was really dope. And then he had a really cool one, too. The first time I saw him, and it was those roses, like the album cover. So, yeah, those are some stories, man. I just had to share. I always go back. I actually gave Wallace the Metro poster for that show. It was like May 20th, 2003. I bought it for myself. And then I don't know, it must have been like a drunken decision. But one night he was at my house and I gave it to him. Like, hey, man, thanks for staying that night on the bench. And he's like, yeah, right on. I'm like, here you go. Here's the promo poster. He's like, awesome. Well, I totally forgot because I sold my house, you know, like 6 months ago. And I'm going through all my posters that I haven't framed yet. I'm like, where the hell is that Deftones one? So after we did the Diamond Eyes episode, I'm like, yeah, I can't find it. He's like, you gave it to me, dude. I'm like, can I get that back? He's like, no, you're not getting shit back. So, yeah, man, I love this album.
You better hang it on the wall or something.
You better get it framed.
Yeah.
That thing's rare. Super rare. So, like I said, this album, the first single was Minerva. For those of you that don't remember Minerva, I think it went a little something like this. For that second show, you know, when they all gained weight and were on drugs and alcohol, they opened with this, and it was kind of a buzzkill. It's a little bit too slow, you know, for a track to open up with. You need
need
a hard hitter, but yeah, Minerva, that was big. I know it did well in the, you know, record sales and stuff, and a lot of people refer to this album as Minerva just because it's a self-titled. But yeah, that was the major track. Digging deep into this album, what was going on in their life, Deftones called this their dark days because they were really, really burnt out after that, you know, White Pony thing. And they blew up commercially and they had a lot of pressure with the record label saying, hey, we want more hits like Change, this and that. And they're like, hey, we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to take a step back. And they made this really heavy, dark and aggressive music. And you could tell the lyrical content. I think this is when Chino was starting to have some major issues with drugs and alcohol, and especially with his ex-wife. I think they were splitting up or they were separated, and you could tell with the theme of this album from the record label or the record cover to just the lyrical content that he was going through a lot of hard times. So I remember they stayed away from performing some of these songs later on because I think it brought up some bad emotions. But at any rate, it all worked out, you know, because sometimes, well, all the time, your dark times brings out your best artistic creativity. You know, I mean, think about Nick Gloom as an example. A lot of his stuff is darker, right? A little bit, I don't know, depressing and macabre and sad, but that's a way for him to release those feelings. And I know too, like whenever I've composed music, you know, I write my best stuff if I'm writing poetry or whatever, or write my best riffs, like I get that negative energy out, and it's usually when I'm down and out. How about you, Strut? What do you do when you're down and out?
I read Psalms out of the Bible.
Right on.
I go for walks.
Long walks on the beach.
Caught me off guard.
Did I? Come on, man. Come
on. No, you, last week we were talking about Pig Destroyer. And what we talked about was the lyrics that they use and some of the lyrics that are crazy. But every interview that I read of them, they're actually pretty solid family men. So they're normal guys when they're not talking about the nutty shit that they put into their lyrics. And that's another example of how you know, whether it's true that they have that amount of darkness in them or not, doesn't matter. They get it out on stage, they get it out in their music, and they get it out in their lyrics. And I think it's cool. I've been known, I have I've only ever bought two guitars. And my first guitar, I still love it. It's just a shitty little guitar. But one night, the only night I was ever able to properly play it, I was in a very, very dark place, found myself inebriated and sitting in my bathtub at home in an empty house, and I just wailed on it. First I started playing it, and then I started like screaming, like trying to sing, and then I punched the shit out of that thing. Still plays. There's a lot of dead frets now. Damn. But now I'm even more attached to that guitar. We have a little history. Damn, I let out some of that darkness. Hey, sometimes you gotta let it out.
You gotta let it out. At this time too. Damn, I didn't know you're that savage. Strutting the Savage.
Oh, just the one time.
Just that one time. Deftones too at this time where Chino especially was talking a lot of shit, like in Revolver magazine, and I think it was the Summer Sanitarium tour, and they were with like Korn, Limp Bizkit, and Metallica, and like Chino had this article, and like Wallace gave it to me too. Like he's just making this silly face on the cover, and like he's like, "We're the best band on Summer Sanitarium," you know. So like, he just came out really confident. He was taking jabs and shit at Korn because they were always under that same Korn nu metal umbrella, and they got away with it from White Pony. But then people were still saying that shit, and Chino was like, "No, Korn sucks." And like, he was friends with Fred Durst at one time, but then he just started basically calling Fred out for being a douchebag. And then he even said, "Oh, and Linkin Park was on this tour too." And he even said, "Yeah, he's like, Linkin Park's all right." He's like, "But if they rip off another one of our songs," he's like, "I'm gonna kick their ass." You know, like being kind of serious, kind of passive aggressive. And then he even said, "We sound better than Metallica live." So, yeah, I think with the combination of some things deteriorating at home, a little drug and alcohol abuse, he was feeling it. You know, he was extremely, extremely confident. And he was doing some crazy shit, like with his hair. Like it was just like all long and greasy. And, you know, he's kind of letting go a little bit. This was the Fat Tones era. Sorry, Deftones, no disrespect if you're listening, but
the Fat Tones.
And that second show at the Aragon, I just remember Chi, the bass player, he was just punching his bass half the time and screaming. It was just like, what is wrong? What is wrong with these dudes? But here's a little some statistical stuff for the commercial performance. This album sold 167 copies in the first week in America. It debuted at number 2 on the Billboard. And then it was their highest charting album to date. Wow, didn't know that. It went over to sell over 500,000 copies in the U.S., giving it a gold status. So that's impressive.
Commercially, impressive. The Fat Tones era wasn't so bad.
I guess not. I just think the whole hype after White Pony was just like everybody wanted to see what they were going to put out. The downfall of this album, it took them a long time to put out, and it seemed a little rushed towards the end. Like, I love it. I revisit it. I've been revisiting this album the most out of any Deftones album, like, this year. There's something about the guitar tone. I love it. And, like, the bass and just the whole sound of the album, it's just very thick and it's very heavy. Very heavy. So, I've been revisiting it a lot. The classic Deftones song is Battle Axe on this. They did a legendary performance on Carson Daly, remember when he had his own show? But yeah, here's a little sample of that. Or I'm sorry, Bloody Cape, my bad. This song, I can tell you're getting excited, but wait till it kicks in, Stratton. Just wait,
it's heavy.
The song makes you want to break shit. But listen, just hold on. Wait for it. Wait for it. That,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So that tour where you got Korn, Limp Bizkit, Deftones, Linkin Park, who knows who else was on there? Those were kind of sort of the heavy hitters. And then when some of them got a little less popular, they would tour together. They'd throw Incubus in there sometimes too.
Yeah.
I actually liked each one of those bands at a certain point in my past, except Limp Bizkit was always like, how did they get in there? And I know they were popular for a couple years. For a couple years that they had, they had a couple hits. Then he tried to do a duet with Eminem, and it didn't work because Eminem was like light years ahead of him with skills.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Fred Durst. But they were always kind of the douchiest, and everyone knew. What was your opinion? Because I actually loved Korn, and I still like. Occasionally, I'll go back to Korn, and I'm a huge Linkin Park fan.
I don't like
Incubus.
Yeah, I don't like Linkin Park. Never really did. Limp Bizkit, I like their first album, $3 Bill, y'all, for the time that it came out. Remember, it had Faith on it.
I hated it.
But see, Faith, like, that album was out for a year and a half, and that was the first single after a year and a half that they put out. That's the only reason they blew up. And Korn had a lot to do with them, too, because Korn always put them under their wing for the Family Values tour. So, like, my first show was Family Values 98, and it was Korn, Limp Bizkit, West Side Connection, and Ice Cube, and Big Orgy, and Rammstein. Dope show. It was a cool show.
Yeah.
But my opinion on Korn, that's what you asked, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Their first album and their second album was groundbreaking. Like, I was the biggest Korn fan. Like, I really wouldn't have gotten into the Deftones if it wasn't for Korn. I mean, it all happened around the same time, but it was like, I was that typical Korn fan, you know, like in 98 99, and then right. Like the Deftones, I heard a little bit about them, but I really wasn't messing with them. And then people were playing it in the locker room for Hobart football, and then I talked about this, people check it out, it's the Happy Birthday Deftones Around the Fur episode we did. But then my friend Dave Schaefer, rest in power, he brought it over Around the Fur to Mike Paris's house, rest in power, he put that on, and it changed my life. I was like, what is this? Like, forget about all the other stuff, like,
right.
Forget about it. But see, Chino's on Life is Peachy.
Is Korn, he really?
Yeah, Korn's second album. Remember when they covered Wicked by Ice Cube?
Yeah.
That's Chino rapping the whole song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, and I gotta listen to it again.
Yeah, because that's kind of how I heard about him too. And I was like, who are these dudes? Like, are they trying to be a Korn ripoff? But they had this video. It was a VHS. It was like a Korn promo for that album. I forget what it was called, but everybody had it. But they had live video recording of Chino in the studio rapping that song. I was like, okay, cool, because everybody was going to the Indigo Ranch back then and recording. And yeah, so no, Korn's first two albums I'll still revisit. Follow the Leader, not so much. And Issues, like, they lost me after Issues, and that was like 99, you know.
And I tried, like, all the new albums that came out, whatever, a couple years ago one came out, or last year. It made me rethink why I ever liked them. But no, I still like those first couple albums.
Yeah. I mean, I could go back. I mean, they were good for the time, and what they were is what they are. And it was just, you know, they got caught in the whole rap rock thing. Deftones were there in their first album, Big Time Adrenaline, a little bit with Around the Fur and a touch with White Pony. But this album, Deftones Self-Titled, there's nothing rappy about it whatsoever.
No, no.
It's like they took a step back and are like, hey, this is a heavy, dark, aggressive album. We don't care what the record label says. We know our fans will probably embrace it. This is who we are right now. And that's what I love about the Deftones. Like, they have their sound, but they're not scared to take a chance. And this was a huge chance to take. You know, you just put out your most commercially successful album. I mean, it's still probably their best album, White Pony. And then they dropped this, and they just kept it heavy. It's just like a metal album. You know, like, this is their heaviest shit. It's just dark. It's just really, really dark. So yeah, I don't hate on Korn. Do you remember Minerva when this came out or no?
No.
Okay.
All my Deftones it was always kind of every song sounded the same to me back then. That I had a, I mean, like I said, I still now I listen more. And I try to listen to it more because you're such a fan. But back then, I definitely blew them off. I just thought they sounded like each individual part sounded like something else to me. And as a whole, I was like, it's not for me.
Bite your tongue over here.
I know, but that was, I mean, that was me. I actually listened to Limp Bizkit more than them, and I can't stand Limp Bizkit.
Huh.
And when it, when the first Limp Bizkit album came out, and I hate to give them this much time, when the first album came out.
See, Chino, if he's listening to this, he's going to be pissed. Like, here we go. People
and it was
still
a cover
talking
of,
about Korn and Limp Bizkit.
Well, it's a cover of Faith. And I was like, who cares? And then the second album came out, and there were a couple, like, he did that song with Method Man I really like, Fred Durst did. Yeah. But, like, the rest of it, I was like, all these other bands are better.
Yeah.
Like, way, way better. Not even a little bit better.
And they were all cool in the beginning. I remember, like, the MTV Music Awards, like, Will the Real Slim Shady Still Stand Up, like that? What was that, 99, 2000?
Something like that, yeah.
I remember Fred Durst was wearing a White Pony t-shirt on the VMAs, you know? Like, so all these dudes had each other's back, but the Deftones really wanted to prove that they weren't nu metal and they wanted to go their own direction, and they did with White Pony. And then the self-titled album comes out three years later, and they take a step back and just put out some really dark, aggressive music, and kudos.
What I'm also finding out through the influence of Musically Meditated is how hard it is when a band tries to change their sound or add a new sound or mix in their same sound, and you know what I mean? Like, experiment a little bit. And if there isn't a genre that is coded for what you're doing, it's really, really difficult. So, like, at right now, you've introduced me to the term, like, doom metal. You know, in the last week or two, I've been listening to doom metal. And it's categorized by, if you would have told me beforehand, I would have been like, super duper crazy fast, people screaming, but that's not the case at all. It's like painfully slow.
Yeah.
Super heavy.
Yeah.
Real, like,
you like it?
I really like it.
Okay,
I actually
good.
Really, really like it. Like, I think it might open my brain up to a whole new thing of music. But now when you listen to, like, these songs that you're playing on this album with the Deftones, there are elements of that, like, heaviness, which is really cool. But how do you label that when they put that out in that world of, you know, sound, not them, but, you know, every band back then that was getting popular was like the soundtrack to the new Korn Crow sequel, or, you know, I don't know, a new Interview with a Vampire movie, Queen of the Damned soundtrack or some shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So how do you label?
Yeah. Deftones are a really hard one to label. You know, they've thrown in a lot of different elements of all different kinds of genres. But at the end of the day, here's a term that people have been using a lot when it comes to the Deftones: the Radiohead of heavy metal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I could see it.
I could see it.
But I don't think they like it. And I don't think a lot of, you know, like, their hardcore fans like it. But Radiohead's a good thing to be compared to. They're great.
I see it as a way for somebody to say,
check out Deftones. They're like the Radiohead's heavy metal.
Well, they're just hard to label.
Yeah, like, they are.
They actually experiment. They're musicians. They try to put new sound in, and whatever they like, they put it on the album.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing, too, just some quick statistics. This album went gold in Canada. It went silver in the UK, and it went gold in the US. We mentioned that before. So those are good numbers, man. Really, really good numbers. I'm just pumped to talk about this. I'm glad I got to share that story, too, with that concert. I can't get over it. But what I'm going to do now is a little track breakdown. Track by track. We'll start with Hexagram. We did it a little bit here, you know, so here we go. Get into a couple parts. This chorus. This song, too, it's called Hexagram, but it's a song almost for the fans. Like, the chorus is worship play. So he's giving a shout out to the fans, like, hey, thanks a lot. You know, like, worship us. Let us play. Worship play. Now, when they do this live, I think he has a hard time because he was able to do it in the studio, like overdubbing and stuff. So sometimes it sounds a little wacky. But what's cool is I noticed they just played a show in Peru, and they threw this out because not a lot do they play this shit live from self-titled. They didn't the last time I saw him, they didn't. My buddy Neil, this is like his favorite album. I'm like, yeah, man, that was great. He's like, didn't play nothing from self-titled, dude. I'm like, oh, all right. Here's Needles and Pens. This song's really cool. People don't know this, but Steph, the guitarist, is using a 5-string bass. And I've seen him play this song. It's the intro. It sounds like a guitar, but it's a heavily distorted bass. But I got to see him play this live at the Riviera. It was during the Saturday Night Wrist Tour, and he blew the fucking speakers on the whole left side. So the rest of the show sounded kind of shitty, but you hear that? That's Steph on the bass. And then when it really kicks in, that's Chi on his bass, so she's heavy to listen. Abe's snare on this album is just tight to your. Great song. They opened up with this song with, this had to have been 2015 when they toured with Incubus, and they opened with it. And I remember I was with Neil Cug. You remember Cug? He's been on Juice Pro Wrestling. My cousin Ian and I.
Shout out to Ian.
Yeah, shout out to Ian, and shout out to Jesse, his wife. Like, they went up there, so we met up with them. And I was with my friend Justin Swicky. Shout out to Justin. We've been to very many Deftone shows together. But I was like, dude, I'm gonna go get some beers. Cause we were wondering who was gonna be the you know, not the opener, but the closer. It was freaking Incubus. So we didn't know, but I was like, all right, the Deftones are coming out. So I'm like, I'm gonna go get some beers. Ran and like double fisted it, and then I ran into Cuggy and Neil. We started talking. I was like, dude, I gotta get my beer. I know they're coming on, so they're coming on, and then I hear that na 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 na. They open with Needles and Pens. I'm like, this is amazing. But then I missed like half of it. I was so pissed. I haven't seen them play that song in like a decade.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really, really cool way to like open up a show, because it's kind of an obscure song.
Right.
We already listened to Minerva. Here's Good Morning Beautiful. Love this song. Hold on, we'll get to the chorus, but it might be one of my favorite, like most favorite Deftones choruses ever. Like, Chino's voice was really on top. Like, he damaged some vocal cords the tour before, like the White Pony stuff, but he got them back. But right here, I love this. Awesome chorus, but cool song titles too, ain't it? Good Morning Beautiful. You know what? Here's a cool fact about Good Morning Beautiful. Belching Beaver in California, their craft beer brewery in Cali, all right? They are releasing different Deftones beers, and like Chino helped them pick out the first one. I think it was Swerve City. They've done, you know, like he's a hoppy guy. So they're trying to do like seasonal stuff. Well, they just came out with one, Good Morning Beautiful, and it's like their brown ale. And it's cool because Belching Beaver has like a beaver as their like, you know, logo. But on the can or on the bottle, they made it look like the skull for this record, like the record cover,
yeah.
The album cover. And then they put the roses behind it, just like the album cover. And then they put Good Morning Beautiful. I called like my two plugs out in San Diego. I'm like, give me that bottle. I want that. Crickets. I heard nothing.
I'll hook you up.
Will you? You
know, I know a guy.
I don't know if it's out
San
anymore.
San Diego?
Yeah, because it's seasonal.
We'll see.
But then they just came out with another one, Digital Bath. Like, they're doing some cool shit.
I got a guy that could send us a bottle every time.
Really?
Yeah, he goes back and forth from San Diego all the time.
Well, let's do this. All right. Next track is Deathblow. This song is, this song hits my heart, man. There's just something, I don't know, just very lonely and depressing about it. Like this intro with the guitar is cool, but then like Chino's vocals too. It's just dope, man. Like, hear a lot, this is like a good way of putting it too, with Chino's vocals, I hear a lot of Robert Smith, you know, a lot of Cure, don't you?
Yeah.
A lot of Cure influence, yeah. Man, you know, and this Deathblow, this is like, you could tell it's another song maybe about his ex-wife. I mean, as soon as you came in, all the beasts went away, you know, like just stuff like that, like the anxiety about seeing your ex, or maybe you still want to be with her, so then when she came in the room, the agony and all the bad feelings and shit went away. Like, it's very, very personal, but super, super kind of a downer song, but a really, really good one. I mean, one more time. One more time. Now, I think we opened up with Battle Axe in the very beginning, and we'll go there again because it's the next track. But when I told you I've been revisiting this album a lot lately, it's this particular song. And I remember when this first came out, like, I was kind of bored with this song. But this song was also on a video game. A lot of people always talk about it. Hold on, let me look it up real quick. It was on a video game. Battle Axe was featured in the video game Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2.
Warfare.
Sorry, nerds. But yeah, so you might remember it from that. But man, it I didn't like it in the beginning, but I just keep going back to the song, man. I can't stop. And Battle Axe, you know, it's a reference to like the old ball and chain, the old Battle Axe, you know, like this is totally, totally about his axe, you know. Yeah, see, it's got. Listen to this album like on a really good sound system, or like I've been listening to it on my PA. It just sounds so good. The production on this is just like the perfect balance between the highs and lows. But listen to this right here, the guitar and the bass and the drums. Classic. I did skip a track, though, because I really like Battle Axe. But this is my favorite song on the album, and it's called When Girls Telephone Boys. So you probably know what that's about. Probably his ex-wife always gave him a call. And, you know, he's probably sick of it. I don't know. But I do like the lyrics. I hope we never do meet again. You know, this is a total I hate you, my ex song. And the vocals, like, it's a heavy song. Like, this is one of my favorite songs to see him perform live. They've been throwing it in a lot, too, like, the past few years. Frank Delgado, he's, like, their keyboard, their turntable samples guy. It's turned down and produced and mixed really low on this song, but when you see him live, when the chorus kicks in, it sounds great. But I'll give you a little taste of When Girls Telephone Boys. This is the most aggressive song. All Chino is doing is screaming, so... little sample in the beginning.
It's very personal.
It's hella sensitive.
I can talk to you or call you when I get back. You know, this is like, but when I get back, I might call. But right here, when it kicks in, it's threatening. I see you don't say nothing in case we ever do meet again. Something's wrong with you. I hope we never do meet again. He's pissed. He's like, you always sharpen your teeth because you're like that. Meaning, you know, she's got a mouth on her. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Chino.
Oh, Chino. You know, some women will drive you crazy like that, though. Now, we'll go to Lucky You. Deftones were doing this for a minute. Do their little glitch pop, their little dream pop. Has the little beats. Little Team Sleep. This is when the Team Sleep shit was cool too, but. The song's called Lucky You. Good stuff. Just a cool chill. Looking back too, I hear a lot of Duran Duran, a lot of Depeche Mode influence, Morrissey, all day, you know, Robert Smith, but yeah, it's a good chorus. If you're feeling lucky, come and take me home. This is maybe when Chino was setting up his side piece or something. I don't know. If you feel lucky, baby, maybe you could take me home. We already talked about Bloody Cape. That was overdone. Let's go to the anniversary of an uninteresting event. I always thought with this song, this is like a good funeral song. I know that sounds dark, but I remember when we did bury my friend Dave Schaefer, rest in power, like my friend Mike Paris and my ex, we were on our way to the funeral, and we just kept listening to the song over and over. It's dark, but it is what it is. But I know on this song, Steph, the guitarist, is playing drums, and Chino is playing a little kid piano. Remember the tiny kid pianos? So, yeah, check it out real quick. This is like, you know, Deftones taking a chance and just doing some cool shit, you know? Yeah, just very somber.
This song's really sad.
It is sad. That's why we were listening to it at my friend's funeral. I mean, it's super sad. It's a great track, though.
Yeah,
cry, Stretton.
It's too late.
He's tearing up, folks. He's tearing up.
I'm a mess.
And the closer, it's Mona. This is, like I said, I don't think the Deftones have ever performed this song live. I used to have inside jokes about this song with my friend Mike Paris. Like, we'd always we'd always joke, like, yeah, man, scream Mona at the show, because, you know, it's just kind of like a blah song. It has a cool intro. I'll put it on. It's the last song.
Kind of like screaming Freebird. They'll have the same reaction. They're not going to play it.
It just takes a while. But after this, remember, the whole idea was the song or the album was supposed to be called Lovers, right?
Right.
So on the Deftones... Well, let me turn this down. Sorry about this part. So on the Hexagram single, there's a German import. So this album was supposed to be called Lovers. But on the Hexagram German import, the song Lovers is on that. Like, it's on that import just by itself. So they didn't put it on self-titled. Sorry. Do I make sense?
Yes.
I hope so. Are you sure?
Not for a second.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
No. It was good. It was me. It wasn't you.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah. My brain was like,
Yeah. Yeah. We do what we do. But this is like a total weird B-side Deftones track. Supposed to be on the album. The only reason they didn't put it on there is they said, it didn't fit. I think it could have fit. I don't know. The Deftones have done this for a long time. They just don't put everything out like they should, like on the track. But they should have made this the opening track, and they should have kept that original album cover, and I would have been happy. But here's Deftones Lovers. Love this song. I remember we used to have to download this off Napster to try to find it. Kug had it.
The good old days. The Wild Wild West.
The Wild Wild West. Love this track. Deftones Lovers. Woo! Those drums, though. Abe's drums are so good on this. And I love the dynamics of this track, but I love Chino's vocals just soar on this. And there's a really cool fan-made video for this. The guy's going through a bad breakup. This is a bad breakup album, so everybody check that out. But right here, I love this. The first time I wish you'd come. Why are you looking at me like that? I'd wish you'd come.
I'm just waiting for you to explain.
Well, you know, he wish you'd come back into his life.
Yeah.
Not for him.
I got it.
All right. So, yeah, I just wanted to say happy birthday to Deftones. Deftones, self-titled album. I had to get this off my chest. It's definitely one that maybe a little bit forgotten about. You know, so thanks, Stretton. Let's do our pitch where people can
thanks,
find
Joe.
Us. Where can they find us? Where can they find the Green Door Network?
Green Door Network, greendoornetwork.com. Green Door Network books, Green Door Books and Studio. I'm the worst at pitching. If you hear this, check out the Green Door Facebook page, join the book club, be a part of any kind of events that we're going to have starting in July and August. We're going to be packed with events. As far as the podcasts go, Pricks on Flicks has his own iTunes page now, just like Musically Meditated. So does Juice Pro Wrestling. So look up Juice Pro Wrestling on iTunes and all Google Play apps. Same thing with Pricks on Flicks. Same thing with Musically Meditated.
Yeah. So look for Musically Meditated on iTunes, iHeartRadio, all podcast platforms. Yeah.
And remember, get on the Facebook page, join the Facebook page. It's been... The discussion group's been great.
Yeah,
we're working on a subreddit also.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Musically Meditated Listeners group page on Facebook. Go there. Plug your own personal music if you're an artist. Share new music, old music, whatever you love. Put it on there. We're getting a lot of people to interact. It's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, we actually had a lot of people, a lot of different genres, a couple people playing some covers.
Yeah.
Of their own, which is awesome. I was like, yes.
That guy, that kid that was playing Metallica covers?
Yeah, I was like, good.
Yeah, it was really
more people are going to do that.
It was really great. It was really cool. So get on there. And then another thing too, add people. Shout out to Mike Barth. He did that to add people to the group.
Yeah, he did. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. And it's grown, and we got like over 400 people on there right now. And also share the Musically Meditated Facebook page, because I hate Facebook, but it's an important tool, you know. And then obviously Instagram, give us your Instagram love. Yeah. We see you.
Shout out to Oscar in Houston. He's spreading the love too. Spreading the word
thanks,
on the
Oscar,
show.
Yeah.
Huge fan of the show. First person I talked to late drunken night sends me a text. I'm getting a Musically Meditated tattoo, bro.
Nuh-uh.
I was like, pump the brakes.
Go ahead. Go ahead. We'll
loves the show.
We'll post it. But yeah, t-shirts are on the way. Taking care of that. And then all proceeds from that will be going to the Gary Humane Society. So remember that and share that.
Joe the Softie.
Yeah, not the Softie, but you know, like when we had Tom Lodges on.
Those are good cause. Yeah,
it's a great cause. Now, after that, we want your money. We want all your money. But the t-shirts are going to be really dope. It's going. They're going to be on the super thin American Apparel setup.
I've heard them referred to as Buttersoft.
Buttersoft. Buttersoft britches, baby. But yeah, make sure you purchase one. And to anyone and everyone that's been on the show, you're going to get one. So I know, we know who the original supporters are.
Shit, that means me. I don't give a shit about anybody else.
Nah, not you. You and Michael got to pay. But
you never got a Green Door shirt. This is how you're...
I had to pay for the Green Door shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's shiesty. But yeah, that's coming up. Stickers. What else? Koozies. And maybe, and just maybe...
Headbands?
Headbands would be cool. A float. We're talking floats for the 4th of July parade. The Green Door Network float, Musically Meditated. I'm going to talk to people. That would be super cool. And then we'll do a live podcast, and we'll have strippers from Deja Vu on the stage with us. But yeah, everybody, make sure you please subscribe and share to Musically Meditated, Green Door Network as well. This is a happy, happy thing, happy-go-lucky. I don't know. I just got a blank, but you know. This is a great thing we got going. But we're going to close out to Deftones Lovers here. And thank you, everybody. See you next week. One more thing. Rest in peace to Chi Chang, Deftones' original bass player. Everybody wear your seatbelts. Chi is missed. He's the first few bass lines I ever learned on bass. He was a huge part of this album, too, because a lot of his backup vocals were on there. So, yeah, wear your seatbelts. Watch how you're driving. Rest in peace, Chi. We miss you, dude.